story.
Last one here. Okay. Are we taping this?
We're taping.
Oh no. Okay. Quick prayer.
You're on the
international
worldwide. You're worldwide, brother.
Okay. Our Lord God in heaven, open our hearts to the class in the words and the thoughts that we're about to receive today. Open us up to Jim's teaching, for he worked very hard throughout the week to prepare for this class. Let it sink into our hearts and our minds that it may benefit us through the week to come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. See there, we started off with Robert Redford in the class. How many of you think he looks like Robert Redford? Robert Redford kind of looks like him.
Yeah, he kind of looks like me.
He kind of looks like you. Yeah. We took all from John 3:36, of course, when we went into this study. Let's go back to John 3:36 real quick. John 3:36. I'm excited about getting in the fourth chapter of John, but I want to go over the subject of hell thoroughly while we're here. And look at that. John 3:36. We'll read that together. Ho pistion, eis ton huion, eke doein, aionion, ho de apathon, to huion, uk opsete, Zoein, all he or ge to theu mene ep autu. And it says the one believing in the Son. Aston Hion. What's different about, what are the different words for son or child in the Bible, in the Greek New Testament? What are the different ones?
All right.
Technon.
That's the first time that I ever wrote something in English instead of in Greek.
I think in my life, I usually write my English in Greek.
There's some of the words.
I do this every now and then because some of you haven't seen this, and it's very important. Okay? Here are different words for child in Greek. Okay? And it is ben in Hebrew, but ben, bet, and ben in Hebrew means what?
According
to a pattern. All right? And that is in Greek. All right? That's a Greek word for everything. But it's bet is girl, okay? Technion. What does technion mean? Technion.
Live birth.
Okay, that is a live birth, okay? Technion is a live birth. That's what it means, a live birth. It's real. It's technically a child, okay? What is paideon? Paideon, what's that? Comes from pais. And that means to spank. To spank. So this is a child that's old enough to spank. This is where we get the word pedagogue. They would take the child and spank its hands and make it set up straight and make its letters right and all that kind of stuff. That's where the word paideon comes from. All right? Now, the word braphos. Braphos. What is that? Braphos. That is a child in the basket even. Still in his mother's womb. That is a child that is a conceived child. Braphos, we get a word brief from it, which means newly born or newly conceived. That's what braphos means. And napios is what?
I did that wrong. Napios.
Napios. That means a speechless baby. That's a very young child. And of course, we own is what? We own. That's the heir. That is the heir. The firstborn and the heir. Okay. Now, there's only one, John 1:18. Let's look at that. Someone who has John 1 and 18? And John 1, 18. Who has got that? John 1, 18. Who has New American Standard? Brother Bill, are you on New American Standard? What do you have?
I got the King James.
Okay, we don't want that one. You got New American Standard? Can you bring that up here to me, please? And read that? That's a good, I don't know what King James says or New King James. That's why. But the New American Standard says the right thing.
Okay, it's John, which one?
John 1:18.
1:18.
Yeah.
No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who was in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him.
All right. The word explained him is a poor translation of that. What should it say there? No, not declared. What does it literally say in Greek, Brother Roger? He led himself out. Christ led himself out of eternity into space and time. He led himself out. He brought himself into the world. That's what happened there. The only begotten God. That's very important. That's what it says in Greek. The only begotten God. Now, Jesus is what? He is God, but he is man, because he is God that put on flesh, physical attributes. And this is really weird for our understanding, because Christ walked with Adam in the garden in the person that he would later literally become. Adam walked with Jesus Christ in the garden. He walked with him. He was known as what there in the garden? What was his name? What was his name in the
Jehovah?
Garden? Jehovah. Jesus in the Old Testament is Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Jehovah. Jehovah. Now, who said they could write Jehovah the other day? Somebody said they could write Jehovah. Who was that person in my class said they could write the name Jehovah? Who did that? Nobody? Somebody did. They're not here. Did you say that, Roger? Did you say that?
No, but I can.
Good. Come right up here and write Jehovah up on the blackboard for me. I like to show off my students. There you go. Write Jehovah. All right. That's it. That's Jehovah. All right. He did it real neat looking. I go like this. All right. And then the other name, the rest of his name is Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah the Creator. But what does Jehovah mean? It comes from the Hebrew root right there. That's the root of it. We looked at those analytical lexicons a while ago, and in the Hebrew, that is, what does that mean? What is that root? That means to become. So what does the name Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
Where is that title fulfilled in the New Testament? What verse? In Greek. Huh? Brother. Thank you very much. Kaiho Logos Arx Agenito is John 1:14, and that's a fulfillment of the Jehovah title. You're going to get this, people. It says, and the word, or the Jehovah flesh, Sarx, he became. That's it. You get that down, and no Jehovah Witness can stand in your presence with a Bible. It's over with. Their arguments are done. And you're coming from the Bible. Now let's go back and look. Let's look at this John 3:36. And the one believing, ace. Ace is extension or limitation, authority, or verbal action. That is the grammatical rule of that. It means the one believing into the Son. And right here it means believing, really trusting and believing in the Son of God through unto the you are in eternity. Because when you believe, it's done. All right? He has, eke. Third person singular, present indicative. He has at this present time. If you are saved, you have eternal life. You not will have, you have eternal life. That's different, isn't it? You have eternal life right now. And how long is eternal life? Rebecca, how long is eternal life?
Eternal.
Eternal. Is that measured in any way?
No, not measured in any way. All right. The one, he has eternal life. And then we have the word day, ho, apatho. But the one not persuaded, that's literally what it says, the one not persuaded, the one not being persuaded, the one disobeying to the Son, not, he shall see life, but the wrath. Every lost person in this world, the wrath of God is resting upon them right now. Do you realize that? The wrath of God is resting upon them at this time, present tense. Until you are saved, you are doomed for file 13. You hate God, and God doesn't like you either. All right? The wrath of the God, it remains right now upon him. Now that's what John said 2,000 years ago. Now let's go to our, and how many of you, do all of you have this, the doctrines of the Bible thing? See, mine's all messed up. You probably have one that's real clean. This one here is messed up drugs. I wrote this little thing about 40 years ago to teach my Sunday school teachers and my Bible teachers basic doctrines of the Bible. So when they would go into a classroom and they would have students, and the students will ask them questions during Sunday school or during some Bible lesson. And if you learn all of the lessons in this little book, you can answer those questions, believe me. I have had people over the years call me on the telephone. They'd listen to me teach out on the radio. And they called me on the telephone and said, Jim, I need a lesson on giving. I said, well, go, remember that little book I sent you? Go there to the lesson on New Testament giving. Really? It's in there. I am another one to say, I need something on security of the believer. I said, go to the one, security of the believer. And that little book I sent to you. And they go back there, and there it is. It's all there. And it says, I want to study about hell. What does the Bible say about hell? Well, go to lesson number 8 in the doctrines of the Bible and look at it. And let's go do that right now. All right? We talked about last week where hell is located in Proverbs 15:24 and 5 and 3 and 15. And 5 and 13, and Isaiah 14 and 9, Ezekiel 31 and verse 17. Where is hell located? Where?
Beneath the earth.
Alright? Beneath the earth. Let's get rid of some of this. We got to draw our little map up here again where hell is. Alright? Here is the earth. We're going to put E. Alright? Alright? In the book of Revelation, it says that hell is kata hippo. Kata hippo. What does hippo mean? Hippo means below. And what does kata mean? Down below. So, a lot of people think that hell is in the earth. It's not in the earth. It's kata hippo. It's down below the earth. Now, the Bible also talks about where heaven is. Heaven is the first place around the earth is called the first heaven. What exists in the first heaven?
The birds and the air.
Okay. That's called what around any planet? It's called what?
The
atmosphere. Atmosphere. That comes right out of Greek. Atmosphere. Okay. That's where it has atmosphere. It has oxygen, whatever. And that's where the birds fly and everything. And then up above that is where the stars are. The stars. And out beyond that, beyond all of that, way above here is heaven. And way out down there is hell. Now, we're going to say in Luke the 16th chapter, we're going to go to the book of Luke in a few minutes and look at a man that really went to hell. And he didn't get out either. Hell is not a reform school and it's not a penal colony, is it? Hell is not a reform school. In society, when somebody commits a heinous crime, terrible crime, murder, rape and molesting, many, and I'm telling you this, and I'm kind of repeating last week a little bit. Some of you weren't here. But when they commit this crime, their society does not think that they are reformable. They don't think they can be reformed. And so they convict them and sentence them to death. That's what you call a capital crime. And they do away with them. They put them in the ground. Hell is like that type of punishment. It's capital, but the thing about it is, it's eternal death. But you don't go out of existence. You don't go out of existence. You just keep on staying there. Now, number two, it says, for who was hell prepared? Does anybody? Sharon, did you look up that?
Yes.
What did you say?
The devil and his angels.
The devil, his angels, and demon fallen spirits. All right? That's who it was. Eternal fire, eternal hell fire, was created for the devil. Now, what is the word devil? What Greek word does that come from?
Lucifer?
No. That's a Latin word. Lucifer is Latin. What Greek word does the devil come from? It's, how many can speak Spanish in here? Anybody speak Spanish?
Diabolos.
Diabolos. All right, Diabolos. Diabolos, Diabolos in Spanish, that's Diabolos in Greek. Latin, a lot of Latin comes from Greek. And, of course, Spanish comes from what? Latin. Okay. All right. Number three, how is hell described in the Bible? Let's look at it. Revelation, the 20th chapter, 10, 14, and 15. 10, 14, and 15, Revelation 20. If you look up here on the chart, you will see all of this. You can study Satan's path. We've already talked about it. All the way from Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, Ezekiel 28. And then you come all the way down through here. And you can see where every place he's going. His whole destiny of Satan. Okay? Revelation, the 20th chapter, that's the last book in the Bible, by the way. The book of Revelation, what is it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. There was an old janitor in this seminary, and next door to the seminary, and he was in a gymnasium over there in the school, and the seminary students would come over and play basketball. And he was not highly educated, but he would sit there and read his Bible all the time the boys were playing basketball. And one of these sharp seminary students, when a seminary student is the sharpest and when he thinks he knows the most?
First day of school.
First day of school. They try to teach the teachers. They would come. I thank the Lord I never taught a beginning class in seminary. I always taught the advanced students. I taught the fourth and fifth and sixth year students. I got, after they shut up and started listening, that's real good. The first ones, you can't do anything with them. All right? Anyway, this sharp first year seminary student walked over to this old guy. He said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." He said, "Do you know what that means? Do you know what the book of Revelation means?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You really do?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, tell me." He said, "Jesus wins." That's it. Jesus wins. That's what it's all about. It's the apocalypse of Jesu Christu, of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse, the unveiling of him as the Adonai Ha'avanim. And what did I mean that when I said that in Hebrew?
King of kings, Lord of lords.
King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who he really is. He came first riding on a donkey. The next time he comes, he's going to be on a white horse. A white horse is the horse of battle, a war horse. He's going to be on a war horse. He came on a donkey, a white donkey the last time, but next time he's coming on a white horse, a charger. Revelation, the 20th chapter. 10, 14, and 15. Revelation 10, 14, and 15. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end of hell. Did you know that? What does it say there? And death and hell were where? Were thrown where? Into the lake of fire. All right, into the lake of fire. That's the end of hell. Of Hades, that is. Not hell. It's the beginning of hell. It's the end of Hades and Sheol. That's when all of the lost people get their bodies resurrected in a corrupt state, but an asbestos state. Asbestos, that's a Greek word, asbestos. That means unburnable. It means it can't be burned up. Brother Bill.
I'd like to point out this, my way of thinking, that I like answering the Bible. The reason I used to wonder why the devil didn't repent because he knew he couldn't win. Well, you got to remember the devil's a created angel. He does not have foreknowledge. He doesn't know he's going to win. Right today, he still thinks he's going to win. He doesn't believe this right now.
He knows it's written. The devil knows the Bible.
It knows the Bible.
But it hasn't happened yet. He's still winning. He's still trying to build his forces. Let's just look. Now, wouldn't it be nice if God took somebody and could reform them and throw them into hell for 1,000 years and they got better and they learned their lesson and he could put them back into heaven? It's not going to work. Satan was thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and locked up during this period of time right here. See that? That's the kingdom age. We're not going to have the devil or any angels on this earth. Did you know that? And if you read Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38, and every other cross-reference in the Bible about that, there's going to be some bad people on this earth. Did you know that? God's going to have to warp them. You know what that means? Clothesline them. Lay them out. Because they don't want to serve the Lord. Now, people today will say, if I knew that there was a God, I would serve the Lord. But I don't know, so I'm not going to do it. Nobody knows. But there, they're going to know that there is a Lord God, because up above this earth, up there, up in above the sky, is going to be a light shining, and it's going to come from New Jerusalem. That's where the city of the Lord is. For 1,000 years, His bride is going to be with Him up there in this New Jerusalem. Okay? Looking down on the earth and shining. Down on the earth, Israel will be the administrator of God's kingdom for that 1,000 years. But there's going to be some bad people on this earth. There's going to have to be judgment. Even then. Okay? Now we have Hades and Sheol is dissolved. Okay? Hades, everybody in Hades and Sheol is resurrected in corrupt bodies that feel pain. You know, when I got out of the car out here tonight, I fell out of the car almost. I couldn't hardly get out of it. I went in the car and I fell in there. I sat down, but when I got out, it was almost impossible. Boy, it will be really good to not feel that pain one of these days. But you know what? The lost people are going to feel all the pains they felt in life. When you get your resurrected body, when you get your glorified body, you're not going to feel another pain. My little children, when they'd get hurt and everything, I'd kiss them, kiss their tears, and tell them I loved them and everything's going to be all right, you know. Well, there's nothing going to make everything all right with those people. They're going to be shedding tears forever and ever and ever. Yes, Robert.
It talks about the demons who cry, and then the Bible says he'll wipe away the tears, right? That's in heaven?
Yes. He'll wipe every tear away. Every tear away. It's a figure of speech, meaning that they'll have no troubles. That they'll have no pain. Nothing. You're not going to have, when you're resurrected in your body, you're not going to have any more pain. But those in hell, in Sheol, when they're resurrected, that's what we call the second. That's what we call the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. All of those people that are resurrected out of hell. I mean, they've been suffering in hell. Cain's been there for a long time, people. There's a lot of people been in Sheol and Hades for a long time. But their suffering is just beginning. It's just beginning. Lazarus has been in paradise. His happiness is just beginning. After all these hundreds and hundreds of years. The rich man, Dives, or Nineveh, whoever he was, probably a king. Okay, he was probably a king because he was dressed in purple. We'll look at that a little bit later. He was probably a king. Okay, and he was very rich. But he did not want to serve God or believe in God. His suffering is just beginning. Yes.
I don't know if it's appropriate at this point, but you know how the Jehovah's Witness, they were given hell, but then they constantly refer to the scripture to say they're going to be on the earth or the new earth. What's the relationship with that terminology and the Hebrew and the Jewish thing? Or, I mean, what is the base to believe that?
I couldn't understand what.
What was the basis for the Jehovah's to say that they'll be on the earth?
They think that they're Israel. They think they're Israel. They swear that the 144,000 are already in heaven. Those are the only ones that are going to go to heaven, and they are tying themselves into the restoration of Israel. It's not talking about Jehovah Witnesses here. It's talking about Israel, and it names every tribe and who's going to be here on this earth. That's for Israel. Israel was set aside during the church age, but Israel will have something to do in the economy of God here. For 1,000 years, that's a 1,000-year reign. The kingdom, the restoration of the kingdom of Israel for 1,000 years. But it's only 1,000 years. We are facing millions and billions of years. That's going to be on. And then we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Brother Dick.
I was going to say, Brother Jim, kind of to follow up on her question there, all of them who believe in soul sleep and so on, they pull their doctrine out of the Old Testament. So they interpret the New Testament in light of what the Old Testament says rather than look to the New Testament.
Well, we're going to get into that in just a little bit. We're going to get into the soul sleeping business and what the body is and death and hell and the grave and all that. They always try to take the grave as hell. The grave is not hell. Okay, but we're not there yet. We're going there. Okay, we're going to that point. We're going to get there. Okay, all right. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and this is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay, this is where Sheol and Hades are done away with. But the eternal fire, hellfire, is just beginning. Okay, all right. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse number 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. All right. The book of life. When was that book written? When was the book of life written? When was the book of life written?
When Revelation of Jesus came out of paradise?
No. The book of life was written in eternity past. There are three attributes of God. What are they? What are the three attributes of God? Anybody know those? Boy, Bill, you're getting pretty smart. You know that? Omnipresent means what? He's everywhere. All right? And omniscient means what? He's all-knowing. Okay? And omnipotent means he's all-powerful. All right? We're talking about the omniscience of God. Back in eternity past, God wrote down everybody's name that would be saved before they were ever created. Not because He was damning some and saving others, but He knew what their little thinkers would do in space and time. Okay? All right? That's it.
Huh? A small ticker, too.
Yeah. All right. Revelation 21 and 3. We're in the same chapter. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven with the key of the abyss. What does the word abyss mean? We're going to get over there a little bit. If you look on the next page over, you'll see words from the original language pertaining to hell and paradise. Okay? We're going to get to that. But let's look at the abyss. What does abyss mean? It comes from awe and besol. Two Greek words. Awe and besol. What's awe, an alpha on the front of any Greek word, mean?
Not.
It's not. Okay? It means not or no. Okay? What does besol mean? Bottom. No bottom. The bottomless pit has no bottom. Now, somewhere out there in this space is a bottomless pit. Now, the scientists, now they have discovered something called, there was even a movie that Disney put out, was called Black Hole, wasn't it? And it even had a place in there for hell, didn't it? In the black holes in space, what is in a black hole? Tell me. Does time exist in a black hole? No. Does light exist there? It sucks in every bit of light. Time ceases to be. And everything is this compressed so tightly, nothing can escape from it. We're talking about a real place. Okay? Kind of sound like hell, doesn't it? Or the abyssal. And in there, nothing can escape. But it is held in spaceless time. It's very hot. But yet it does not, there is no light. Very hot, but no light. Okay? What?
Is that the same as the Abuma? Abuma, my son, where Satan will be put for 1,000 years?
Yes, this is what we're talking about. Okay? 21. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss with a chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the Drakon. All right? And by the way, in the book of Exodus, what, when Aaron threw down his rod, what did it become?
A dragon.
It did not become a snake. It became a dragon. It did not become a serpent. It became a dragon. This is the same word right here. A dragon. Okay? That dragon that was in Pharaoh's palace was like a leviathan. It was a giant dragon. It could be a fire-breathing and spouting type of dragon. Okay? And laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old. That's the one that was in the garden. And the devil. It's naming his name, Diabolos. That's a destroyer. And Satan. What does Satan mean? Satan. Brother Mike, you remember what Satan means? Sharon, do you remember what that means? Satan. No, not that's another word. Anybody remember what Satan means? Brother David. Satan. Brother Bill.
I've heard you say it a thousand times.
It means to stand against, to oppose.
Stand
to stand against or to oppose. All right? And then bound him for how long, Robin?
1,000 years.
And threw him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should not deceive. Now here's your word, the deceiver, the liar. Deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years is completed. After that, yes.
Is the serpent, the devil, and Satan all the same
thing? Those are all his titles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
those.
Okay.
Yeah, those are all his titles. He was a serpent in the garden, wasn't he? Nahash. What does Nahash mean, Brother Roger? Deceiving one. To hiss and to charm. That's what it means, to hiss and to charm. To cast a spell upon. All right. So now we've looked at that a little bit.
Question?
Yes. Brandy.
In the garden, he was a snake, though, not
yes.
A dragon.
That's right. He was a snake.
That
he was a serpent in the garden.
Okay.
But when Aaron threw down the rod, it did not become a serpent. It became a dragon, a very large, giant dragon. When Janice and Jambres, and how do I get the name Janice and Jambres? Where does that come from? Huh? It's from the book of Jasher, but it's in the New Testament also. We're in the New Testament. No. 2 Timothy. Paul tells us from the book of Jasher who they were that opposed Moses and Aaron in the palace of Pharaoh. And those were Balaam's children, Jannes and Jambres. Okay, and they threw their rods down, and what did their rods become? Dragons. So we had a contest of the dragons right in Pharaoh's palace. But God's dragon outdid them. So Simple as that. Let's go on a little further. Matthew 25:41 talks about this the eternal hell as a eternal fire. And Luke, the 16th chapter. All right, and that's where we're going to go. What are some of the torments of hell? Go to Luke. Kata Lukan, Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter. I know I've got it in my Bible somewhere. Luke, the 16th chapter. Verse number 19. Hell is not a penal colony. Hell is not a reform school. You don't get out of hell. The Catholics invented a reform school hell. And what was it called? Purgatory. Now, purgatory does not exist. I want you to understand that. It does not exist. Their idea was to get money out of people so they could pray their family out of purgatory. Even children, babies that are born dead, had to go to purgatory. Of course, the Catholics had a little picture of the babies with a little candle on them instead of fires or flames. It was just a candle warming them up slowly on a spit, okay, like a barbecue spit. That's not purgatory. Purgatory is how you purge your sins. This is the idea that you slowly purge your sins out. Of course, if you buy the merits of some great saint, you can get them out of there quicker. And that's how they built the Vatican. But it doesn't exist. That place doesn't exist. That's a penal colony. That is a reform school idea of hell. Purgatory does not exist. Okay, that's a figment of imagination. Let's go in. Now there was a certain rich man, habitually dressed in purple and fine linen and gaily living and in splendor every day. Now this rich man, in some of the original old manuscripts, it calls him Nineveh or Dives. And we hear the story of Dives and Nineveh, don't we? Okay, that's... And this guy was real. This is not a parable. In some of your Bibles, it said the parable. All right? The parable. It's not a parable. This is a real story. A parable is a example. We're not talking about an example. We're not talking about a man going out to sow seed. Jesus was the man that went out and sowed seed, but he used a parable to explain it. This, say this, this is not a parable.
This is not a parable.
Good. This is not a parable. This is a real historical fact. I want you to understand. I don't care how many Bibles put parable down there. Forget it. It's not a parable. All right? There was a certain, a specific rich man who even had a name. And he was probably a king. Maybe the king of Nineveh. That may be where they got the name Nineveh. Okay? And he didn't believe. He lived very rich, very splendid. And the Bible talks about rich people having a hard time getting into heaven because they thought so much of money instead of eternal things. But Mike, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. And the Bible, and Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle, a surgical needle, literally, than for a rich man to get into heaven. Now, that's what you call a hyperbole. What is a hyperbole? An exaggeration. Okay? It's an exaggeration, but it's a figure of speech. Okay? But it means something. And then they said, well, who can go to heaven? And they said, well, with God, all things are possible. God can even save rich people if they allow Him to. Verse number 20. And there is a certain, a specific poor man named Lazarus. This poor man was it's patokois in Greek, and that is destitute. This guy was destitute. It reminds me of me. They're definitely poor. Named Lazarus, and was laid at his gate covered with sores. Whose gate? The rich man's gate. Now, maybe these people all lived in Nineveh. I don't know. This could be. Okay? And longing to be fed with the crumbs, the fleeing that was falling from the rich man's table, besides even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. All right? The fleeing. how many of you ever cooked a big roast or something, and some in some places in that roast it was not fit to eat, so you took it and you set it aside and you gave it to the doggies and the kitties? Okay, that's what you call the fling. That's the refuse. That's the slop, the garbage. Okay. And he desired, he wanted to be fed with that which was left over from the king's table. And a lot of times, and you have to realize also, how many of you have heard about Spanish style homes? Okay. Spanish style homes are really not Spanish style homes. Did you know that? They're not Spanish style homes. What are they? They're what? Well, what are they?
Arabic.
The Arab world, the Turkish world. It's the Muslim world. And back in those days, even go back to Christ, they had a house in a courtyard. Courtyard around with all kinds of gardens and stuff out here. And outside, and it was locked a gate, and there was lights all over here. Okay, and then out here they would take the buckets of slop and throw them over the wall, and outside you'd hear the dogs rawr, 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 fighting over the slop and the garbage. Okay, that's the idea of this. He's sitting at the gate, and when they go throw the slop out, he's down there with the dogs. Okay, Lazarus is living a dog's life, and it says even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. He must have had some type of disease. And believe it or not, when a dog licks himself, he's putting medicine on himself. His tongue has got antibacterial, some type of solution on it, okay, that kills germs. And when they lick themselves, they are cleaning themselves, and they're putting medicine on. That's God's medicine that he gave them. Well, these dogs were having mercy upon him, and they're licking his sores, and they're putting medicine on him, so to speak. Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now, the poor man, this guy, Lazarus, what does Lazarus mean, by the way? It is a shortened form of the Hebrew word what? Anybody remember? Randall, have you got this one? Lazarus comes from Eliezer. Eliezer. Lazarus is a shortened form of Eliezer, which means God is help or God is a helper. Okay? Lazarus, they say, is no help. That's what it means, because it doesn't have an Eliezer on the front of it. Lazarus. Okay? No help. He was helpless. But that's the term that comes from Eliezer. That the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, this place down here, below, here is Hades. That's the place of Sheol and Hades, all right? And up above here is heaven. Now, many people believe that at one time, Sheol and Hades were one compartment down here. And one side was paradise, and one side was hell or Hades. Okay, or Sheol. And there was a great space in between. Now, this could have been the same place, but I don't think so. So it was probably like this. Now, one of the torments is that the people from Hades could look over in paradise and see what they were missing. I remember one time I was back in Oklahoma when I was a little boy, and we moved back there for a month, or I guess 3 months, one year, one summer we went back. I think I was in the second grade. At that time we went back to Paul's Valley, that's named after my family, and the real Rooster Cogburn, you know, the Rooster Cogburn, that you see the movie True Grit and everything else, that was my great-great-grandfather's name was Sam Paul. Well, we went back there and visited our family, the graveyard, the Paul's Valley graveyard, and all that kind of stuff. And we were staying with some of the family back there. And they were poor. Very poor. This was back about 1953 or 54, somewhere around there. Ancient history. Anyway, I went back there, and we didn't have any food. We didn't have any food. We didn't have anything to eat. If we ate one meal a day, we were lucky. We didn't have any food. And the people we were staying with didn't have any food. And I was sitting out there one day, and next door to them, they were having a birthday party, and they had great big birthday cake. And they had chili dogs out there. And boy, I mean, they were just making these. They had a great big pot of chili and beans, and they had these big old hot dogs and buns and everything else, and those people were just eating those, and they were putting cheese on top of it. And I was sitting there just looking out there, looking at them. That's kind of like what's going on over there in hell, you know. They're looking about the banquets, everything going on over there in Abraham's bosom. I was sitting there looking along, and this person from the party came over, and they said, "Little boy, are you hungry?" I said, "Yeah." You know, I just shook my head. I didn't say anything. Just shook my head. He said, "Would you like to have a hot dog?" Yeah. And they gave me a hot dog and ice cream and cake and all that kind of stuff. Boy, I was in heaven for a little while. Anyway, I was just sitting in the car with my chin on the door, looking out. I remember that. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, you're acquainted with angels, whether you know it, when you were conceived. I believe that they witnessed your conception when you were conceived. And your birth. And if you are born again, they witnessed when you were saved. And when you die as a child of God, there are at least two angels come to get you, to escort you into the presence of God. Back here, when they died, this is before Jesus Christ died on the cross. They would take them to Abraham's bosom. Okay? It's called paradise, a paradiso, a paradise. And it comes from the Persian word in the Hebrew and in the Greek paradiso and in the English paradise that is not translated. What does paradise mean? Who remembers what paradise means? What's the translation of paradise? Anybody remember? What? A guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means. That's paradiso. You remember that, Rebecca? Oh, right. A guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means. Okay? So he's escorted by these two angels to this guarded pleasure park. Probably the two angels that witnessed his birth, and maybe the same two angels that witnessed his being born again. And if you go over here to the Ark of the Covenant over there, above the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, what is standing there? Two angels, two cherubims, cherubim. There's cherubim and seraphim. There's different orders of angels, but I don't know much about that. Those are called cherubims. Why do they call them cherubims?
They have wings.
They have wings. And they're shining ones, too. They're very bright. Seraphim means shining ones. And we studied that when we were studying the book of Genesis. Anyway, those two angels there are cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant witnessed when the high priest took in the blood on the Day of Atonement. It witnessed. God made a covenant with Israel that if they would do this on this day, the day of Yom Kippur, Yom means what? Day Kippur, Atonement, the Day of Atonement. That's the day of atoning your sins. If they would do this every year, that he would forgive their sins. Okay? And they would do that, and there was two witnesses, angels witnessing that. Because it is a covenant. It is a barit. Well, in the New Testament, what is it called? The New Testament is called Hekine Diatheke, the New Covenant. All right, we have the Old Covenant, we have a New Covenant today. Let's go on. Now, these angels escorted him. It came about the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. It doesn't say anything about angels escorting him. It just doesn't say anything about it. There have been movies made, and of course, you know, with all the special effects that you have today and everything else, in a lot of these movies, these scary movies, when a bad person dies, what shows up? demons, ugly looking creatures, showing up and escorting him off. All right? And in Hades, now, I want you to understand something. This man has no body in Hades yet. His soul and his spirit have some sort of form. Okay? And he experiences things. Okay? What are some of the torments of hell? That's what we're looking at right now. In Hades, he's lifted up his eyes. What does that mean? If he lifted up his eyes, what does it mean? He could see. All right, he could see. Being in torments. And he saw. So I guess our soul and spirit has eyes, doesn't it? Okay. Abraham afar away, and Lazarus in his bosom, in his care. And he cried out. Now, he couldn't make speech, couldn't he? All right? His soul and spirit are crying out. This is before he's resurrected now. He has no body. His body is in the grave. Grave. We're going to get into that later. His body is in the grave. His body isn't in hell, is it? His body is in the grave. Okay? He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agonies in these flames, in this hot place. I'm sure that it was really close to Bakersfield and Death Valley. Yes, Robert. That's another thing. Does anybody back in that period of time, do you think they didn't know who Abraham was? Huh? Nobody. Everybody knew who Abraham was. All of Egypt knew who Abraham was. All the Muslim, what would become of the Muslim world, would know who Abraham was. They all claim him as their father, don't they? Abraham was a very powerful. He went in his armies. Abraham had an army. Did you know that? He went in one time. Remember the kings that went down in Sodom and the five cities there, and they went in there and they captured Lot and all of that. Abraham went down with his armies and whooped the socks off of them. And I guarantee you, his fame was known all over. This man knew who Abraham was. So he had memory, didn't he? He had memory. He remembered. After his body had died, the man was conscious, wasn't he? Now, your soul sleepers, your Jehovah's Witnesses, your Seventh-day Adventists, and Unitarians, and a whole bunch of these other people that believe this kind of baloney, and Herbert Armstrong and Garner Terry Armstrong's bunch, they all believe in soul sleeping. This guy wasn't sleeping. His soul wasn't sleeping. It's someplace. He's wide awake someplace and in a lot of trouble. He's wide awake and in trouble. And he said, cool off my tongue. Did he have the sensation that he still had a tongue? All right. So he could see. He could feel. He had memory. You think he could taste? Sure he could taste. If he had the sensation of having a tongue, he had taste. How about when you taste, what's 70% of the taste, where does it come from?
Nose.
Your nose. So he could smell. And all of his senses were alive and well in hell, in Hades, okay, or in Sheol, whatever you want to call it. For I am in agonies. In this flame. Okay? Now, there's a lot more things we're going to look and see about. We can learn a lot about hell from this little short episode in the Bible, historical fact. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things. You had what you wanted in life. You didn't want God. You had what you wanted. You want your way. There are two paths in this world. One of them is a narrow path. And one of them is a wide and broad path. And this man took the wide and broad path. Okay? You received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, bad things. But now, he is being comforted here, and you are in agonies. I want you to realize this is all plural words. Agonies. He was seeing. He was feeling. He was remembering. He was smelling. And he had emotion, too. He had emotions. He had emotions. And besides all this, between us, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. When you die, love doesn't die. Did you know that? When you die, love doesn't die. Love is really strong. Love is the one gift that's going to last forever. That's it. Faith, hope, and love. Right now in the church age, we have faith, hope, and love. But in eternity, you're still going to have love. When you die, you will still love. Yeah. When you die, you will still love. Okay? When you die, you will still love. You will remember. And you will love. Now, in ancient history, there were two rivers that a man had to cross when he died. Do you remember what those rivers were?
Euphrates.
What?
Euphrates?
No, it has a name. What, Bill? One of them is the River Styx.
And the other is not the River
Lade. The River Lade.
River,
the River Styx and the River Lade. You have to cross two rivers after you die. Brother Mike, you ever remember me teaching about this? All right. You remember, don't you, David? Rebecca, do you remember that? All right. All right. When a person dies for a few thousand years now, they used to put coins on their eyes. Who were the coins for? For the boatman. The ferryman. That would take them over the River Styx. They could get a boat ride over the River Styx. Okay? That's what the coins were for, was to pay for the boatman. But they had to swim one other lake, one other river. One other river, and that one was called Lade. Lade. I don't remember how to spell it. In Hebrew, it's Lade, anyway. We got our word lethargic from that word, the river Lade. All right? Lethargic. What is lethargic? Tired and... that's what I felt like when I came to church. When I had 71 blood sugar, I was really lethargic. I was all messed up. Just kind of weaving back and forth. When you would swim the River Lade, you would get a drink of water. And you would forget everything that happened to you. Because you couldn't be happy in paradise remembering. You know what one of the torments of hell is? Is loving and remembering. And we're going to find that out in just a few moments. Loving and remembering. Then he said in verse number 27, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my Father's house." He's loving. This is a love letter from hell. This is a love letter from hell. "Send him to my Father's house." What did he do? He remembered. He remembered. And he loved. Do animals love? Yeah, sure they do. Do animals get mad and hate? Do animals reason? Absolutely. If you ever had animals, you know what I'm talking about. The old story is that they don't... By the way, do animals have souls? All of you Hebrew students, do animals have souls? Absolutely. If you've studied Hebrew, you know. What is the word for soul? Nefesh. Every living thing has nefesh, has souls. Now we know that demons like to inhabit human or animal flesh. Sometimes animals are really mean, aren't they? That's all I have to say about that subject. Okay? "For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torments." This is a place of torments. This is Torment, California. Torment universe. This is a place that doesn't go away. This is a place that never has a fall or a winter. This is a place with eternal summers, blazing. But Abraham said they have Moses and they have the prophets. Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament people. They got the Old Testament. Let them hear them. By the way, if you go back in the Old Testament, was anybody ever raised from the dead in the Old Testament? Was anybody raised from the dead in the Old Testament? Of course they were. Did somebody go back from the dead? Didn't do them any good, did it? People just keep on going to hell. In the New Testament, was anybody ever raised from the dead? How many people did Jesus raise from the dead that we have historical evidence from? Three. We have three evidences that he raised people from the dead. And then when he was raised from the dead himself, and by the way, it says in the Bible that he raised himself, that the Father and the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. The triune God raised him from the dead. Anything Jesus did, the Father did. Anything Jesus did, the Holy Spirit did. On the cross of Calvary, the Father tasted death, experienced all the agonies that he experienced. God experienced that for you. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Verse number 30. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Repentance is very important in salvation. It is very important. We do repent all of our lives after we're saved. How many of you didn't repent of something today? That's the way it is. Every day, a day of repentance. But he said to him, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Now, number five. Who shall have his part in hell? All right. And Revelation 21 and 8 says that. Revelation 21 and 8. Let's go there real quick. Revelation. It's the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelation. It's the book of Revelation. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, you know what that means? The unpersuaded. They didn't believe in the name of God. And the abominable. And murderers. And immoral persons. And drug addicts. This means prostitutes and lesbians and homosexuals and sorcerers, drug addicts and idolaters and all liars. They all have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right. Rough stuff there, isn't it? Number six. Is it possible for a person to be of good moral character and go to hell? Luke, the 18th chapter, 9 through 14, we have the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee was a very moral person. He was a believer in God. What else? He tithed. He even gave. And he gets to go to hell. Is it possible for a person of highly religious and still go to heaven? How many Jehovah's Witnesses did you ever see on their way to heaven? None. They don't have the right formulas. How about good Mormons? People that just absolutely are really of good moral character, but they're doomed in a false religious system. Number eight, what is revealed endurance of the suffering in hell? Revelation 14, 10, 11. The torments are what? Eternal. Have no end. Okay. Mark 9, 43 through 43, where the maggot does not die and the fire is never put out. Is it possible to escape once one has been committed to hell? Luke 16, 24 to 26. There are no exits in hell. There are no exits in hell. Hell is not a penal colony. It is not a reform school. And it has no exits. Is it God's will that men should perish? 2 Peter 3 and 9. No, it is not God's will that men should perish. Number 11. Did Jesus warn of the danger and the reality of hell? Yes. When men end up in hell, who is it to blame? themselves. They can look in the mirror and say, "You are this. You are," and they will admit that when they come before God. I put myself here. God provided for every man to have eternal life. Number 13. Do you think that Jesus went into the regions of hell in Acts 2:35-41, Revelation 1:18, Hebrews 2:14, also in 1 Peter 3:19-20, it says that Jesus went down into Sheol. He went down into paradise, and he preached to the spirits down there. I think that there were people down there in hell that repented, that were on the outside of the ark of Noah, because they were disobedient. They wouldn't listen, did they? As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. During the tribulation period, there are going to be a lot of people saved. On the outside of the ark, I believe a lot of people believed, but they died in the judgment. This is what we call a period of judgment. And Noah's time over there, the flood, was a period of judgment. A lot of people died outside of the ark. Once it started raining, and what sources of water were there when the flood came?
Groundwater.
And the oceans, water was coming from the earth. Okay, and what else? Around the earth, there was an ocean in the sky, remember? Above the earth, it was like a thick bubble up there with water in the sky. Not clouds like today, but tremendous amount of water, oceans in the sky. And it said God opened the floodgates of the oceans in the sky. And also it rained. We know that a lot of water can come down out of rain. Look what happened in Colorado, boys. It flooded down, and we've had floods and stuff around. I've been in two floods in my life, and it was not fun. Let's go on a little bit further. We're trying to get through this. Jesus did go down into hell. That's what we call the census ad infernos. The descent into the eternal. How can a person escape the wrath of God? John 3:36. He that believes now has eternal life. He that does not believe, the wrath of God is abiding on him now. You are already doomed to hell unless you have believed. All right? And then next week, we're going to study the words. Yes?
Okay. So you're saying we are born with the wrath of God on us.
We are born with the spirit of rebellion in us. And when we come to the age of accountability, you better believe, or the wrath of God abides on you.
Well, that's sort of my question. What happens, to a baby who dies?
A baby that dies is, another subject, but I believe he is covered by the blood of Christ. Because if a person never comes to the age of accountability, of course, they're not going to be thrown into hell. Now, if you're a 5-point Calvinist, I haven't gone into this yet, but I will. We're going to go into TULIP. We're going to go into superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarianism. Okay? Now, Rebecca, you've heard me talk about that before. We're going to study that a little bit. If you are a superlapsarian, a 5-point Calvinist, you believe that some babies were born to go to hell. They really believe that some people are born, and if you die under the age of accountability, they don't know whether they went to hell or not. But I do. God would not throw a baby. I believe that everything has volition that God created. And if a baby is not old enough to have volition, if a child isn't old enough to have volition, he's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If he never comes to the point of volition, he is covered.
He's mentally retarded.
Yeah. No, he cannot come to the age of accountability. All right. Next week, as we go into the fourth chapter, before we go into the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we're going to study Sheol, Hades, Tartarus, Tophet, Paradiso, Quiver, Menemion, Abison, and Gehenna, and Lemnon 2 Peterus. We're going to study that little part of that page, so bring this thing with you next week. Do you have any other questions before I turn you loose on the world? Did you learn something tonight? I know some of you learned more than others. If you've been in my class for 10 years, you probably got to repeat on some of this. I try to throw something new at you even then. Rebecca, have you learned something tonight? All right. How about you, Brother Bill?
I'm going to get on the fact that you know 70 tapes. All these years, I've been plugging my nose and echoing, but I'm all tripping it up. I've got every bit in my mind.
All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. Rebecca, would you like to come up here and dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this time to learn more and more about you. We ask that you can continue to write this on our souls as we go out throughout the week so that we can share with others the good news of your saving grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I hope that you didn't mind this little left field or right field exit out there as we studied.